Now I'm putting the pressure on my wife because I have. This is something I can only give a man, and yet I know you ladies are sometimes and usually greater warriors than us. But I had something made, Brother Chester. That's I think better than what Uncle Sam. I think it's neater. Mega Men's Ministry. It's men equipping God's army. It's a something the Lord gave me several years ago. Men equipping God's army. First Assembly of God. 1 of 500. God has promised us 500. A band of brothers to cover one another and rescue the fallen. And every Thursday, tomorrow, any visitor that will be coming to Mega Men tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, they'll get one of these and any special guests that we have. And this is just a reminder that you're not alone. And this isn't a letter of the law. I could only wear mine so long, and I put it around my truck mirror or put it in my pocket around my keys. But we just want to give this to you.
Thank you.
And men and ladies, do what we normally do. All right. Now my wife will give you something. This is nice, okay?
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
It's a joy to be here.
I don't know what I'm doing. He's long-term and he's loyal. And you just have no idea how much that means. And I really appreciate him, appreciate this church. I want to thank you that you have been supporting us in the year that we've been there. And it's a great honor to be here tonight to have the chance to give you thank you personally. I want to start out by just allowing my wife to give a word of testimony, whatever she'd like to do. That's dangerous, isn't it?
It really is, especially for me. But thank you for having us. We are so grateful to you, and we do, I'm sure you hear most missionaries say this, but living it, we really do covet your prayers so that it just helps, you know, when you're away from home. And this past year has certainly been an adventure, and a good one. And God is so faithful. His presence surrounds us. And, you know, I've experienced, and I was sharing with my husband, such a presence. I'm a grandmother. So one of the first things I had to really tackle when I found out that we were resigning our church of 27 years and going to the field, now I was ready to go, but was dealing with leaving my grandchildren. You know, for those of you who are grandparents know how that feels. But you know, God has such a way of making everything all right. He makes up above and beyond anything that we just put on the altar to him. And I just publicly want to say that God is so much more than what we need. And he is certainly more than I ever hoped or thought he would be these years that I've served him. So thank you for your faithfulness.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share, I'm going to kind of preach in PowerPoint for a while, then we're going to stop, then I'm going to preach short. Now, having been a pastor for 27 years, I understand what dismissal time is. And if I can remember what time I'm supposed to finish, I always finish at that time. My problem is remembering the time. But if you'll just do this, I'll make sure that I catch it. But I want to read from the book of Job something to introduce this PowerPoint and this message. And a lot of people don't read the book of Job because there's so much sorrow in it, but it's a good news book because the end is better than the beginning. And life of God's like that. The end is better than the beginning. Glory to God. Job 23 and verse 10, in the middle of his trial, Job said this, speaking of God, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps, and I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." Let me just reemphasize that. He performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your people. We thank you for your presence and your promise. We pray tonight, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost would move among us. Lord, that the spirit of faith would rise up within us. Lord, that there'd come every need met tonight, Lord God, that every heart would be open. And Lord God, in the diversity of things that are said tonight, let there be something for everybody, I pray. And Lord, most of all, may you be glorified and honored by all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are Chester and Beverly Clark. We are missionaries to Vietnam. Vietnam is in Southeast Asia. If we can turn that, there we go. It's a nation that's 1,000 miles from the very northern part to the southern part. In the middle, it's only, in the narrow part, it's only about 30 miles across. I didn't realize this until God really began to deal with my heart about it, but Vietnam is the 12th largest nation in the world, population-wise. It's way up there. And the population of Christians is very small. The church is still under persecution. When the South fell in 1975 and the communists moved in to reunite the country, they closed every church, burned every Bible they could find, and threw away all the literature, and began a long season of oppression. But God is still doing good things when man say he can't. Can you bless say amen? And so in 1968, I entered the University of Florida as a senior, having never made below a C. I might mention they are still the national champions. I just want to make sure that there's... But having that never made below a C as a senior, I flunked out. And it's a bad time to flunk out of college. And I flunked out of the University of Florida and into the draft, and immediately found myself in the middle of the conflict in Vietnam. When I came into the country in right after Tet in 1968, they recruited me to go to the newly formed 9th Infantry Division Sniper School. And I've always been a woodsman and a hunter all my life, and so I was looked like a really good deal, so I went to the sniper school. It was an intensive training in marksmanship. They brought the marksmanship team over from Fort Benning Marksmanship Academy, the Olympic shooters, taught us how to shoot and gave us Olympic-type equipment, tremendously furnished us with whatever we needed, and I began as a sniper. Because I was, I guess, my hunting background and outdoorsman background, I was just, and pleased to get this, please don't catch the wrong spirit of what I'm saying, but I just was real good at it. And although I was successful with every success, my heart got harder. My heart got harder. And actually, by the end of my career there, I'd ended up with the 12th most successful sniper in the United States Army in Vietnam with 39 taken targets. But it took its toll on my heart, my emotions, my thoughts, you know, if you're in law enforcement, if you're a EMT, paramedic, if you're a military, if you're in any kind of situation where you're seeing crisis situations, you're always being challenged with shutting down a part of your thought process in order to survive and to get through things. And it tends to harden your heart. I just want to encourage you that the Holy Ghost is a great stripper away of that hardness of heart. At any rate, I wrote a letter just to demonstrate how hard my heart had gotten. I wrote a letter home to my family, and I said, my business is really good. And talked about I've become completely calloused about shooting. And even after someone has been killed, I feel no remorse whatsoever. And I said, every time when I was years back when I'd shoot a deer, I would hurt in the heart, you know, you'd feel a little compassion. I came to a place where it was like swatting mosquito. And the next slide gives a good picture of that. There's a picture of me that one of my friends took of me. I just got a while back me cutting notches in my stock. I will mention and throw this little issue in here. The reason I have that picture is because about 12 years ago, we started having reunions of my Vietnam company. My platoon sergeant was a guy, believe it or not, named Rambo. And we hadn't seen each other in 29 years at the time. We worked together at a reunion in Oklahoma City. 31 veterans showed up, and they allowed me to have church on Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, 29 people were born again. Hallelujah. And we still meet together every 2 years. But my heart had gotten so hard. But somehow God spared my life. Remember, I'm a lost man. The reason I flunked out of school wasn't because I was stupid or ignorant. It's because I was a fraternity partier. And I was drinking and partying and having what the world considers a great time. And my priorities were wrong. And the military, of course, didn't change any of that. It just made it easier. But Richard Nixon came in as president, and one of the first things he said he was going to do is take the military out of Vietnam. And so I came out of the second shipment coming home from Vietnam. But before I came home, I wrote this letter, and this is really a true copy of the original letter. I said, I guess I should really be overjoyed about coming home, and I am, but I have a very curious feeling. I feel as if I'm leaving a home. Now, that's the weirdest thing I've ever written. Certainly, I've never been aware of liking this country, but I have a curious, unexplainable feeling of regret as time to withdraw draws near. It's amazing that as a sinner, God was already planting His future in my heart. And, you know, God will perform what's appointed unto us. God will perform. God is the performer. We're the believer. And if we will believe, God can perform. If we will believe, God can perform. At that time, though, God was just preparing me. And a lot of times we look back at our past and we think that our past disqualifies us. And our past does not disqualify us, nor does it qualify us. It prepares us for the plan that God has for us. It doesn't disqualify us or qualify us, but it prepares us. So that the things we've gone through in life, that's why we can say all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. God will work them out. When we put our life in His hands, He works out His plan. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so I said, I feel so strange about coming home, but I did come home. And I had a present waiting for me at home. That's my wife. She looked pretty good back then. She still looks pretty good today. And she just turned 60 Sunday. But I got discharged from the Army February 5th, and February the 12th, we got married. Now, after that, I'd like to say the next 7 years were all roses. No, they were mostly thorns. Because... you know, I've heard people say, well, you'll be happy if you just get saved, or happy if you just get married, or happy if you just get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, happiness doesn't depend on your experience. It depends on your faith. And so we got married and began a career of ups and downs. And the hardness of my heart was real. And it was really a few days of great things and a lot of bad things. One day my wife said, what's the matter with you today? You're just so ugly. And what it was the day I was sober. Because I drank pretty much every day. A very controlled drinker. But I drank nearly every day. And eventually we came to the place where you can see how lovey we look there. You know, sitting apart. And I came home from work one day. And she met me. When I came inside, she quickly said, let me know, I want a divorce. I thought, well, that sounded like a good idea to me. I'm pretty sick of you, too. And so I moved out, and 2 weeks, God began to deal with my heart. And I began to look at the alternatives of my life. I had finally graduated from the University of Florida. I had been a school teacher in South Florida, VOAG teacher, but you know, I'd never succeeded. The only thing I'd ever succeeded in my life at was as a sniper. And I said, well, what can I do with my life? And I thought, well, I can be a mercenary. And I came about that close to going down to Central and South America with the Sandinista deals. And I came about that close, but it just didn't work out. And I thought, I can go back in the military, but, you know, that, I just didn't like obeying all them orders and getting up early and running and exercising and low crawling. I still don't like any of that, except getting up early. And I thought, and I very seriously considered taking my own life, because that's just a situation where the devil comes in and throws this stuff at you, throws your past or whatever at you, and you think, well, that's just the easy way out, when it's not a way out at all. It's a selfish act. But I also knew that I could put my life in the hands of Christ. I knew the gospel. I had a fourth grade school teacher in Sebring, Florida. Her name was Hazel Beach. Her mission was to get everybody in her fourth grade class saved. And she would teach the Bible and art, and that was it. And she got it the year that I was in the fourth grade. That was only one year, I might mention. I was in the 12th, a senior in a number of years, but in college. But she got everybody saved in that class but me. But in my heart was the knowledge of how to become a Christian. And so while I knew that I could put my life in God's hands and turn my life over to Him, didn't know much about it, but I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I love this: if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And God began the process. He made me a new creation and began a long process of continues to make me a new creation. That's what salvation is. Born again, a new creation, a long process of continuing to become a new creation. And beginning to strip away a lot of that stuff in my heart that I had put there in the military. And I said, okay, I believe God can put my family back together. So I loaded up my pickup truck, moved back home. I started unloading at the house. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm moving back. I received Jesus as a Savior. I'm a Christian. God's going to put everything back together. She said, no, He's not. She wasn't saved either. And but yet, you know, that's faith is strong and powerful because of who it's in. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And God began to do a work with her and with me. And I made her mad when I asked her. I said, if you die today, would you go to heaven or hell? She didn't say anything. I said, you'd go right to hell. And boy, it really made her mad. You know, new Christians can be very tactless witnesses, can't they? And but later, a few days later, she came to me and she said, you know, you're right. I would go to hell. And I had the privilege of praying the prayer of salvation with my wife and led her to the Lord. And later we saw nearly all of our family come to Christ in the past years. And so we began to go to church, and I began to feel the call of God on my life. Didn't really know what it was, but I began to realize that that God was calling me in the ministry. I had no church background until I got saved. I started attending church, but it was all a kind of a mystery to me. So we enrolled in Southeastern. I enrolled in Southeastern. We moved to Lakeland, and I got a children's Bible so I could learn the Bible. learned the Bible stories, many of them from a children's Bible book, and finally began to get a grip on what salvation, what it was to be a Christian, and to be called into the ministry. And we left Lakeland in 1980. Is that right? 1980, on your birthday, come to think of it. And moved to Williston, Florida, and planted a church. And we spent the next 27 years in Williston, Florida. We built saw God bless the church. I preached, and my wife led praise and worship and sang. We had a great time for many, many years. Our church was always a missions church. I love to see your missions posters back there. Boy, what a wonderful accolade for this church. What a wonderful thing, how many missionaries you give to. But God, one time in a time of prayer, the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, "You must visit your brothers in Vietnam." At that time, that was 1992. We had heard that the Assemblies of God had come back alive and was functioning underground, but the persecution was great. The superintendent, Paul I, had just been sentenced to 7 years in prison for refusing to stop the underground house church meetings. I might mention that everything we do in Vietnam now is still illegal, and it's still underground. But it's got a little jazz to it, you know, it keeps you going, a little challenge. And so it seemed impossible, but in 1992, the Lord had said, "You must greet your brethren in Vietnam." Have a friend in Lake Worth, David Briggs, and we were praying together, and God confirmed it. And so we were able to get visas into Vietnam and get travel permits. And in 1992, we landed in Vietnam. We were actually the only Americans, the only light-skinned people on the airplane, the only ones we saw the whole time we were there. People looked at us, and they received us well. They were friendly, and that amazed us all. You had to have travel permits to go places, out of Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon, and so I got travel permits to go back to places I'd been. And this particular picture was taken in My Tho, right near the river. And that's my friend David posing with some kids. We then decided we wanted to go. We're heading back to one place I had been stationed called Dong Tam, which is nearby on the river. And it was down a dirt road, off a dirt road, off a dirt road. And when we finally found it, everybody was looking at us real strange because there hadn't been any Caucasians there since the war was over in 1975. And this was in 1992. And so we hired a car and a driver, and the driver stopped from... There's a military base there now still where they train recruits. There's also... They collect cobra venom there. But he stopped. He wouldn't get within 100 yards of the gate because he was really fearful of the soldiers. And so we walked up to the gate, and of course, we didn't speak any Vietnamese, and I still don't. They told us to turn back. We turned back behind us. There was a lot of soldiers. Matter of fact, they had covered the entire road, and I thought, well, this is it, man. They'll never even know where we're buried. But fortunately, they were just trainees, and we pulled out a camera, and it would become a photo opportunity. And they were all just very friendly, but we were really terrified for a few moments. But God was faithful. And so that particular trip was the first of over 25 trips back to Vietnam over the next 15 years. There's just a draw in my heart. You know, I started living and breathing and thinking Vietnam. I'm still a pastor. Church was still growing. We're still doing good. But Vietnam was just so strong in my heart. And when we'd go back, we'd do many things, pastor seminars, benevolent works, and I became very close with the leadership of the Underground Assemblies of God. And matter of fact, that was the main speaker for the General Council in Vietnam for 2 years. And God was just good to us. They kept saying, "Well, why don't you move to Vietnam and work with us?" But I'm a pastor, and it's financially impossible. You know, how many times does the devil shut our faith down by telling us something's impossible?
Yeah.
Huh? Come on now. God will perform what He has appointed unto us.
Yeah.
We're the believers. He's the performers. We're the believers. He's the performer. I'm going to just P.S. here. When they taught me about grace in Bible school, it said unmerited favor, but I don't think that's the right one. One of the most powerful things in the world is the power of grace. Grace is God's grip on you.
Yeah.
Faith is your grip on God. It says we're saved by grace through faith. The reason we're saved by grace through faith is we reach out to God by faith, and He reaches down to us by grace. Now, I want to tell you, I just want to encourage you today. If you sometimes, if you think you're just barely hanging on and your hand's starting to slip, I want to tell you, God's grip is stronger than your grip. His grace is greater than your faith. Hallelujah. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. Hallelujah. He will perform that which is appointed unto you. And many such things are with Him. He's the God of more than enough. Hallelujah. More than enough. Abundantly. Above and beyond all we can ask or think. According to the power that works within us. He is a mighty God. Hallelujah. And so, finally, I don't know why I put that in there. But finally, in June of 2007, God spoke to me and said, it's time to go. So I conferred with my wife. She was in agreement. Our children, they weren't. And my elders, and announced to the church. And September the 30th, 2007, was our last service at Cornerstone Assembly of God. The age of 63, and I guess Beverly would have been 58, 59, we embarked on a career as missionaries. You know, I feel young. Amen. And the interesting thing is that I believe that the past year has been probably one of the greatest years of my life. We flew out on January the 1st of 2008. Is that right? Yeah, I get my New Year's mixed, a little bit confused. And we became new residents of Ho Chi Minh City January the 3rd, 2007, because it takes 2 days to get there. It's a long way. And here's my picture of my wife in front of our little apartment. And we went there with, and I'll share this very quickly, we serve as this, we're a mentor to the leadership of the Vietnam Assemblies of God. We are there at their invitation. I'm there presenting a book, John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, to the superintendent in Vietnamese. The Bevere translated, and we carried into Vietnam many, many copies. He said it's the greatest book he'd ever read. Samuel is a superintendent. He's a great man of God. He looks so small and insignificant, but he's a mighty powerful man of God. And we work with Paul Lynn and his wife. They're the assistant superintendents, and for we act as counsel and mentors to them. They think we're old, and Asian society really respects old people, and so they consider me very wise because my hair is gray. Hallelujah! I wish other people felt the same way, but. But the average age of most of the Christians and leaders there are about 35 at the max. And ladies, may I say, about half the pastors are female. And they do a great job. And so we do pastor seminars. We bring in pastors from America to bless the. And these are all underground, hidden in secret. And it helps the pastors to get a vision for Vietnam and cast a vision for it. And also as an encouragement to the Vietnamese, there are times of mighty anointings of the Holy Spirit. A lot of prophetic words and things that happen in those seminaries. We also work with a Bible school. We've graduated through New Covenant Seminary. We've graduated 60 diplomas, about 70 advanced diplomas, 30 bachelor's degrees, 11 master's degrees, and have our first doctoral candidate. So we serve as adjunct mentors to the Bible school. And the Bible schools, people come in, they come in, it will take them up to 8 years to get a bachelor's degree. They come in 3 times a year for 2 weeks of intensive training, meeting in hidden rooms. This is a hotel in Hanoi where everybody was staying in the hotel. We did our own studies there, stretched out. This man here is one of what we would call him a Montagnard, if you remember the term, a tribal person. And this is just a graduation picture. We also work with local outreaches with the local Assemblies of God ministers and missionaries. They operate a coffee house. Beverly goes in and teaches English and witnesses on Fridays and a number of times. And she's also made a lot of friends, obviously, a lot of pretty girls. Young men, a good place to go. And we also work with an orphanage, a church in Gainesville. First Assembly supports all these young kids. They're street kids, fully orphans or abandoned because their parents couldn't raise them. And they go to church and are trained. They all want to be preachers, and my wife carried them all to the water park for a special day one time. I stayed home. I couldn't handle that. We also work in the local churches. The hardest thing being in Vietnam is not having good spiritual food. There are no good English churches, and the Vietnamese churches are great, but and the anointing's there. So we go to Vietnamese churches just because you experience the anointing, but you never understand what's being said. Hallelujah. This particular church, this man, he's not really unhappy. He's in his pajamas. He's in church. He'd had a stroke and came to church in his pajamas, but glory to God. Hallelujah. He wanted Jesus. Hallelujah. And this particular day, I had preached and my wife had sung, and this young lady has been saved for about 10 minutes when this picture was taken. The look on her face makes a lot of things worthwhile, doesn't it? We want to thank you for your kindness and help in putting us and keeping us in the center of God's will for this time in our lives. I will read this that I read in the paper the other day from this captain of this U.S. airplane that put the plane down so safely. He said, I was sure I could do it. I think in many ways, as it turned out, my entire life up to that moment had been a preparation to handle that particular moment. You know, he had been a fighter pilot, glider instructor, commercial pilot, and yet God had used all of his past, the future he has now. And I want to say that God is the same way. He will perform what is appointed unto us. We'll take a real break right here and you turn it over, and I will be through by the time you're done. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your attention.
You know what I'm going to do now. And there's not too much recognized ministry in Vietnam because it's really not allowed. It's all underground, and the underground church. And we have an opportunity to do something this Wednesday night. And I appeal to you tonight because Because there's not so much the mandate that they have in Vietnam, because there's not many missionaries wanting to go or able to go, because it's just the field where it's all underground, and so it makes things a little bit difficult. So the burden of privilege, I was going to say responsibility, is on the churches to recognize it takes more to minister in Vietnam under those conditions than it does when you have a green light, when you're not worried about being thrown in jail or persecuted, and you can get literature in easy, get stuff by bordering countries easy. That's not the case. So what I'm saying is I need you, please, I need the ushers to come. We need to give. And I'm going to ask you, those of us that, not just those of us that that served in the military, but those of you that are grateful that maybe you don't have to. Maybe you were brought up, your parents served. Maybe you are in a situation where you're remembering all the young people we have from this church in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I think this is a very important gift. And I'm going to ask you, please, to open your purses and wallets. And if you're writing checks, of course, make them out the first assembly. We're going to add to it. And we need to do what about four or five churches normally would do. So if you're giving cash, get a little envelope in front of you, print it out, your name. And of course, you'll get blessing, too, with the government by giving. You won't get Vietnam is not going to give you a blessing. But the United States Treasury will give you a blessing. And I just appeal to you. I just don't know why we're standing room only if we have three morning services on Sunday. But, again, that's not for you to worry about. God knows. So you're here, and you have an opportunity to be privileged tonight. So please, please. Please, please give. please give. And Craig, I want you to stand up. You're a career military man. You retired, and you were in Doran then. Just ask the Lord to touch and protect the Clarks as they go back, and also that we would be liberal in our giving tonight. Would you please?
Cause sometimes that mountain you've been climbing is just a grain of sand.
And thank you so much for your attention. There's a tendency when I give my testimony, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about he. Psychologists tell us that there are three things that determine what you can become in your life: your heredity, what you inherited, your environment, what you grew up around, and the psychological experiences you experienced. And when God began to deal with me about the ministry, and I thought, man, I don't qualify at all. My father was a drug addict, spent 2 terms in the federal penitentiary, emotionally scarred, bad environment so often. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, God adds a fourth thing that supersedes your genetics, your environment, and your psychological experience. He in Christ you. And that's more powerful and stronger than anything else. I just want to say tonight that you may feel like you don't qualify. Well, I'm glad it's not our job to qualify. He's the great qualifier. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you know, it's the amazing thing about me is the amazing love of God and the amazing mercy of God, that He cares for us and will work with us and doesn't give up on us. If I'd been Him, I'd have killed me a long time ago. And I'm glad that I'm not God, because my church would have been a lot smaller. But I want to thank you tonight. I'd like to speak just a word to every military veteran here. If you're a military veteran here, would you stand just a moment? I just want to say to you tonight, maybe you've heard this 100 times, maybe you've never heard it. But let me say, welcome home. Thank you for going, and you did a good job. And would you give them a round of applause? Would I like to, would you just stand for a moment tonight, everybody? I'd like to just open for just a couple of minutes, a time of prayer. For people here tonight, that the devil would lock you in your past, or the stuff that's good, the hardness that your heart has, even though you're a Christian. The devil would like, the enemy would like to just shroud you out of the plan of God. But the Bible says that a book of your life was written even before you were born. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that were prepared for us before the foundation of the world. If you're here today and you've struggled with that deal about wanting to serve God, but yet you felt that lid of limitation that didn't come from you, didn't come from God, it's an invisible thing. I just want to pray for you. If you're here and if you struggle with that, would you just slip your hand? Slip it up. Yes, yes, yes. All over the sun. Just slip it up. Don't be shy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just keep it holding on up. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, every hand that's reached up is a hand that's reached up in faith. Now, God, I would just ask you in the anointing to reach out right now and let grace grip that hand. Just let grace grip that hand. Oh, hallelujah. Let grace grip that hand that's lifted up to you. And God, would you just by the Spirit lift them out of that shell. Even right now, I command, be loosed in the name of Jesus. The love of God and the power of redemption in the blood of Jesus has the power to lift you away and qualify you. And pull that stuff away that's pulled you down and hung on to you and prevented the fulfillment of the will of God. It's not like you haven't followed God, but there's just been that governor on your spiritual life. In the name of Jesus, I speak through the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Be loosed right now. Be free to be who God created you to be. Be loosed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let your faith soar. We have the same spirit of faith. Believe, therefore we speak. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and give Him praise for a moment? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord God, let liberty come, Lord. Let anointing come. Let the freedom of God come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the love of God penetrate, Lord God, because grace lifts us up, lifts us out. Grace pulls us away, empowers us. He will perform that which is appointed unto us. Yeah, you might have been tried, but like Job said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's just give God a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, do me a favor, and I don't want to do it Sunday in all three morning services. I want you now, listen, anybody you know that could have been here that wasn't, say, you don't know what you miss. And in good taste. But again, I'm gonna ask to do something right now. Also, I really just feel led us. I want Holly to come up here. Bring her up some of you don't know. Yeah, Holly's one of our heroes, Gulf War era, and she got one of that. Some of you remember when she was young and she's still young, but her body got some of that bad serums that the Gulf War veterans that they had. And if you've seen her over the years, she's slowly getting weaker and weaker. But we know that which is impossible with man is possible with God. You see her on Sunday up there on that platform in her wheelchair, still wanting to worship God and worshiping God. And we love her, and a lot of people don't know that nothing's free. There's a price for everything, and you've been on my heart, Holly. And she comes here a lot of days during the week and just hangs out during. She gets here and helps us, and remember when a couple months ago where she would be walking, and then she still be falling a lot, and that's why she has this fancy headgear to protect her. And you know, I just want to believe God that God's just going to put his arms around her. And I want you to come up. And I'd like both of you to come up, and we're going to pray. And I want all of you, just to put a hand of acceptance and faith, the prayer of faith. And I want to want you to pray for her.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God and the love of Jesus. We thank you that the anointing of the Lord comes upon us to heal. We thank you that by your stripes we're healed. We thank you, Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And Lord, right now in this night, Lord God, from the very top of the head to the soles of the feet, let the Holy Spirit healing power of God begin to flow, to restore, Lord God, to recreate, Lord God. Lord, you said, and there was, and Lord, we speak the word in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Your word has creative power, Lord God. And Father, we just speak it forth, and we release healing in the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Bring restoration. I just want to tell you, the Lord gave me a word for the year. The word is a simple word. It's resurrection. I heard the Holy Ghost say this is a year, 2009, a year of bringing life back to things that were dying.
All right.
And I just wanted to release that rest. Resurrection, Lord, everything in the body that the medical science says, nah. God, we release the resurrection power of God. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, Lord God, you'll quicken this mortal body. In Jesus' name, bring life in every organ, every part of the nervous system, every part of the every system of the body, the hormones, Lord God, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Resurrection power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to meet you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
My heart has been burning since worship, and I know my husband waited and waited in the beginning of worship for the word to come forth. And yet, I don't know why I hesitated, but I believe that this is what the Lord would say. He says to you, First Assembly, and perhaps to you, Brother and Sister Clark, because you're here. He says, you're mine. You are mine. You are mine. You have been bought and paid for with the blood of my Son. And I call you mine this night. I call you mine. I have inscribed upon your heart, upon your forehead, upon your hands, upon every part of you, I have inscribed my signature. And I say that you are mine. I say that you have not yet resisted unto death. You are like that pot that I put through the fire. And even though you may have been marred, those marred marks are my signature, and it is my mark of ownership. As you have come through the fire, I will fire over and over and over those marks until you are perfected. You are like the fighter that sits in the corner whose eyes are puffy because you have been plummeted by the enemy. I tell you tonight, I take my surgeon's scalpel and I cut slits in your eyes for you to be able to see that you can get back up and go into the fight. I tell you that you are mine and you will be mine. You are mine now and you will always be mine. I have a work for you, First Assembly. I have a work. Do not shrink back. The Lord would say to you, do not shrink back from the fight. Do not fear what I have placed before you, even as my servant tonight has said that I have ordained from the beginning of time, and I have appointed the work for you to do. I tell you, First Assembly, I tell you, my children, I tell you, my beloved, you are mine. I have marked you. I have called you. I have equipped you. Do not shrink back. Do not fret. Do not worry. Do not fear. Move forward in the work that I have given you. And those scars, those marks, they are mine. They are my mark of ownership, my calling in your life, says the Lord God Almighty. You are mine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank him. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you save the best for last. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we praise you. Father, let your blessing be upon your people, Lord. Use them as an example of your promises. We receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save and keep our souls. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for such a brigade of special forces believers in this county, Lord, in this county, here in this church. I thank you for them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. And, man, I'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow night at 6. And see you this weekend.